That was so good. I'm just coming over here because I have an entire suitcase full of goodies. Because I was going to have you try and guess what the story was, but turns out that's not really a thing, and we all know that it's Noah. But that's okay. Can you guys see me if I sit? Great. All right. In my bag of goodies, I have things that are going to help us on our journey today. So we can't really guess what the story was, but I have some things that Noah might have needed on his trip. Do you reckon he might have needed gumboots? Did he have gumboots though? I don't reckon he did. I reckon his feet probably got a bit wet and a bit mucky. What about a raincoat? Do you reckon he would have needed one of them? He might have had one. I don't know. Maybe like an animal skin. What do you reckon? Probably. All right. I'm going to need some people to help hold up my pictures today. Ali, do you want to help? You can be raincoat girl. Can you put the raincoat on? Who wants to be gumboot person? Gumboot guy. All right. Some other things that Noah might have needed. Do you reckon? You reckon? Yeah, do you want to hold them? Please don't break anything. Thank you. Maybe you can fix things. I don't know. Does anything need fixing? Brody's guitar. Oh, I was like, I didn't know Brody had a guitar. Okay. So, Noah might have needed all these things, but he needed one more thing that you can't really pack. Can everyone do this? Because Noah lived at a time where everybody else in the entire world was doing that to God. Absolutely everyone. Noah was walking along and he was listening to God and he was faithful and he loved walking with God and doing the right thing. And everybody else in the entire world was thinking evil things and doing evil things and going to God. Which meant that poor Noah must have felt pretty on the out, huh? What do you reckon? Do you reckon he had many friends? I don't know. Would have been a hard place to be. Can you imagine being the only person following God ever? Crazy. Which also meant that Noah had to do this a lot to all the other people who would have been saying some really, really mean things. Don't you reckon? And so God looked at this giant mess of a world and he went, this makes me so sad. This makes me so sad. This was not the plan. And so he says, hey, Noah, here's the scoop. It's not a secret. Place is a bit of a mess, but I have a plan. And this plan is going to involve you building a boat. Who's going to build the boat? You want to hold the boat, Ali? And this is going to be a really big boat. Now, word on the street said it didn't rain a whole lot, if maybe ever. Which means the idea of building a boat seems a little bit crazy in a desert. Don't you reckon? And God says, hey, Noah, we're going to build this giant boat. And it's not going to be this big. It's not even going to be as big as this hall. It might even be bigger than the back oval. Like, that's a huge boat, right? It's a massive boat. And God called this boat an ark. And God told, oh my goodness, I have a lot of people in here. God told, we are going to wing it. Where's Noah? Spoilers. Things fell out. If you saw what they were, congratulations. Say hi, Noah. Hi, Noah. God told Noah to build an ark. And so Noah got about his business building the ark with a hammer. And I don't know if he had a tape measure, but he probably had some kind of ruler because God had very specific measurements, didn't he, Sophia? Yeah, but they were what you said. They were very big, very, very big measurements. And God said, Noah, I am going to have to flood the whole earth, the entire earth. The only thing that's going to be left is this boat and anything that's in it. So, God told Noah to build the boat, and then he told him to bring in his sons. Do we remember his sons' names? Shem and and Ham, cheese, ham, and sandwich. Shem, Ham, and there he is. Japheth. And lucky for Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they all had wives. Woohoo! So Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their halves. And Noah and his wife too. Yay! Now we have a little party in the boat. But the party's about to get bigger because God said, you guys are going to go in the boat, but also you need to save the animals because who knows, the animals can't swim for 150 days. That's too long. That's too long. So they started sending, God started sending animals. He sent some chickens maybe? What do you reckon? Who's got hands? Chickens and maybe, and maybe some sheep. And maybe some flamingos? What do you reckon? This is starting to feel like a zoo on a boat, don't you reckon? And I reckon these guys were probably the last on the boat. So let me see what else we've got. You guys, I printed cows on white paper. So we just have spots, but we're working with it. We're working with it. And what else? I reckon some doves were on the boat. What do you reckon? Because he sends them out at some point. You guys are doing great. Look at, Ali's using every finger. I'm very impressed. Big respect. And maybe some koalas. Have you got a hand? Do you reckon you can hold it? Yes. And last on the boat, the turtles. Or maybe the sloths. Which ones do you reckon would last? The sloths? Who's got a hand? You've got a whole hand. All right. Wow. That is quite a party on a boat, don't you reckon? All right. So then God says, all right, it's time. Close up the boat. And he goes, and locks them all in place. And then it starts to rain. Can you guys do rain sounds? Ooh, I can hear some drops. That's fun. And then it started getting a bit louder. And then maybe it started like really bucketing, and the water comes up and up and up, not just from the sky, but from the ground. Ooh. Oh my gosh. And Noah and all his family are underwater. There we are. Oh my goodness. How long do you remember it rained for? Do you remember? 40 days and 40 nights. I like sleeping to rain. What do you guys? Do you guys like sleeping in the rain? I actually really like it. And so it rained and rained and rained, and the boat was probably getting very smelly and very crowded, and there's all those animals squished in there, and they're not having a really good time probably. And then the rain stopped. Great. And then the water just stayed for like a really long time, like 140 days. I know, a really long time. And I'd imagine they'd get pretty bored. Although, they would have had to work really hard, because how many animals are they feeding? Like a lot. Like that's a full-time job, just keeping those animals alive. All those pairs of animals. Oh my goodness. And one day, after many, 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 many days just floating along. That's some great floating. Good job, guys. The boat goes. Sorry, the boat goes. The boat was a pig. And Noah goes, hang on. That feels like land. I thought we were floating. And so he waits a little bit. Oh, no, and Noah's falling out of the boat. Oh, no, he's very tired. He's very tired. He's been working hard. And so Noah decides to take the cover off the boat. And he goes, whoo. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Ali, are you okay? All right, we're back. Maybe. We'll see how long it takes. It's okay. It's all right. We've landed. We're towards the end of the story. We're towards the end. All right. It's okay. It's okay. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. And so he takes the cover off the boat, and what's the first bird he sends out? A raven. And do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that he sent out the raven, and it just kept flying around. It didn't land on anything because there was no land to land on, but it didn't come back. It just flew around until there was land. I think it had enough of the boat. And so it flew around for a bit, and I was like, okay, maybe not yet. We're going to pretend that there's water because I need my hands. Water. And so, 7 days later, Noah grabs, that's right, are you guys, what? Yes, upside down birds. Noah gets one of his doves and he says, hey, dove, I need you to go fly and look for land. Hey, Sienna, do you reckon you can fly the bird to look for land? Can you fly it around? Where's it going to find land? Is it going to find any? No? Oh, should we send it back to the boat? Okay, let's send it back to the boat. Okay, no land. Oh, no. 5 days later, he decides to grab the bird again to send it out. Should we go looking again? All right. But this time, grab that one. This time, you didn't see anything. This time, the bird comes back with, what is that? Can you hold it up? Hold up really high, that face it that way. What is that? A twig. There's no twigs in water. Where's this bird getting a twig from? A tree? Hang on. He found land. Oh my goodness. Very, very exciting. But the bird came back, so there mustn't have been enough land for the bird to stick around. And so the bird came back, and Noah went, thanks for the stick. And then another time later, I think it was another 7 days, he sends out the bird again, and this time it doesn't come back. Can you hide the bird? It's gone. And so Noah went, you know what? I reckon we're almost there. It's almost been 140 days. It's been a very, very long time. Oh, thank goodness. Thank God. And so he waits a little bit longer and he checks out and he looks out of the boat and he sees land and he goes, you know what? I reckon it's time. And after a really long time and a really smelly boat, Noah opens the door again. There we are. There we are. And guess what comes pouring out of the boat? The birds and the cows and the flamingos and the sheep and the chickens. And hang on, we're not going to throw them. We can throw his wife. And Noah's wife and Shem and Ham and Japheth. The turtles come sprinting out of the boat. The turtles are so excited to be gone. Who else? The koalas are like, thank goodness, a tree to climb. Whoo! And all the wives and all of the sons, and they're all just like, thank goodness, dry land, and the pencils. And they're going, thank goodness, dry land. Oh, so, hang on, guys, shh. Bring it back down. Because then something very, very important happened. Do you know what it was that happened? Something very, very important. Noah, do you know? The boat's on dry land now too, so it can just kind of chill because it can't go anywhere. Noah says, God, I am so grateful for you. I am so grateful that you would save us, that we didn't deserve saving. We're a big mess, but you saved us anyway, and I thank you for that. And so he built God an altar, which is like a big present to God to say, thank you. I am so, so grateful. And you know what? God saw this and he went, oh, Noah, that is beautiful. Thank you so much for your gift. But I have a promise for you. There's a fancy word for promise in the Bible. It's called covenant. Can you guys say covenant? Covenant. Big fancy word for a promise that God doesn't break, because God doesn't break his promises. You guys, there were giraffes too. The giraffes also came out of the boat. And God said, here is my promise to you. Here is my promise to you. Look in the sky. Look at this beautiful rainbow that Noah is still trying to build. And you know what this promise said? What did God promise? Thank you, Sienna. What was it?
I'll never flood the world again.
I will never flood the world again. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Go God. It's pretty awesome. And he made lots of other promises. He said, make sure that you look after all of the animals, and here's how you can look after them, and here's how you can look after yourselves, and look after everything, because it's your job to look after it, right? Which is our job now too, right? Look after everything. All right. You guys, I think you've done a spectacular job. Can we give them a round of applause? All right, so I know that that story was absolutely riveting, but we also have a bit of a take home, which Judah is going to come up and share.
Thanks, Nicola. Kids, if you'd like to, we have some clipboard folders over here with some fun packs for you to be colouring in or drawing or doing whatever you'd like to do. You can draw a Noah's Ark. I know that I know Hawkesbury Church wished that God had sent them a rainbow the first time that the building flooded. Maybe the second time, I don't know. Cool. I wanted to bring a take home, and you know, it's really important when we look at these stories in the Bible that we ask ourselves, what are we supposed to learn from this story? Like, what is it that God put this in the Bible for? What's the lesson here that I need to take away? I want to tell you a story first. I once did a Tough Mudder. Has anyone done a Tough Mudder before? I know the Walkers did. Yes. Tough Mudders are fun. They're exhausting. I think the full race is like 20Ks or something like that of obstacle courses through mud. It's really fun. And I think there's like a smaller version, like a half version. Anyway, I had done like a different race like a Tough Mudder before, and it was a 5K version. And so I kind of had discovered that I really liked these sort of events, and so I thought, I'll sign myself up for a Tough Mudder. I've now done two Tough Mudders, which I was a sucker for punishment, came back for a second time, and I was going to do a third Tough Mudder, and the fires that were up in that area had cancelled it that year, and then COVID hit, and then I'm just too fat to do it now. So with the Tough Mudder, the first time I did it, I went with a group of guys, and I was training for this. I was getting up early on Saturday mornings, and I was running. I was doing like 9 kilometer runs, which is a lot shorter than 20, but a lot longer than I wanted to. And so I was like ready for the Tough Mudder, right? Absolutely ready. I was going to the gym. I was doing, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then we decided, let's go for the very first people they release, because no one's in your way and we have the best opportunity to get the best time, right? Because this is just how we think. And in our race, in our heat that they release you on, there's a blind guy. There's a blind guy there ready to do 20 kilometers of mud obstacle courses, okay? I stand before you today ashamed, because this blind guy beat us on the 20 kilometers of mud obstacle courses. He was like freakishly fit, right? But apart from the freakishly fit part, he also had a guy standing next to him who was also pretty fit, running with him, who he kept his hand on his shoulder, who would tell him about every obstacle course that he was going to do. He would be like, okay, you're about to do the monkey bars, reach up, yep, there's the first one. Okay, you know what to do, yep, get to the other end. You know, all that sort of stuff. And he beat us, and it wasn't by a little bit. He like really beat us, okay? I tell you this story because in the book of Genesis, when we read the story of Noah, this is how the Bible describes him. Blind, no, just kidding. It says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And sometimes I think that we can understate how important it is for us to walk with God throughout our life. You see, when Noah was faced with this huge thing ahead of him, building this ark and saving the world, it wasn't for his skill or for his great weather predictions or any of that, that he was able to save mankind. It was the fact that he walked with God and that God trusted him because he walked with him. You know, I think this is a really cool and significant thing. When God looked at Noah's life, right, he was looking across the world, he's seeing just people in rebellion against him, he's seeing people that don't love him anymore, he's seeing a world turned away from him, but he looked at Noah and said, there's a strong one because he walks with me. It wasn't the rules that Noah had obeyed necessarily that made God choose Noah. I'm sure Noah stuffed up. You know, the Bible teaches us that all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned, right? And so we know that it wasn't like Noah was a perfect human being. I'm sure he had his moments, but he walked with God. Let me tell you this. It wasn't about the rules. It was about the relationship. And because of Noah's relationship with God, God said, I want to choose you to save the world. You know, there's kind of three people that I think of when I think of people that walked with God, right? The first people are Adam and Eve. The first people that are ever kind of in creation, they walk with God literally through the garden. But when they sin against God. It says that God is walking through the garden. It's kind of implied here that he's like looking for Adam and Eve to walk with him. He's walking through the garden, and it says that Adam and Eve hid from him. See, for Adam and Eve, it became about the rules and no longer about the relationship. They'd broken the rules, and they felt that broke their relationship, and they turned away from God. You see, I actually think that possibly an equal sin to the sin that they committed was also the fact that they hid from God. It was like, you know, I don't want to see you right now, God. I don't want to be with you right now, God. And they stopped walking with God, and it broke relationship. We see the next person that is noted for their being someone who walked with God was Enoch. And we don't know much about Enoch, but it says God took him. This is what it says. It says, and then Enoch was no more, God took him. That's the wording that it places. So it's kind of implied that Enoch never dies and God just takes him to heaven. And I think that's really cool. And this is someone in the lineage of Noah. And it's great that the Bible points out to us that the highlight of this guy's life, the one thing that we should know about him, was that he walked with God. He also, his son was the oldest person in the Bible, which I don't know if that's just a coincidence, but it's kind of cool. So this is what God requires of Noah. I want to read the scripture for you. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Now, it must be cedar wood too. I don't know. I was caught out by that one. And I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. You know, what's really struck me about that as I was reading it this week, what really struck me about the story of Noah was this. Noah said yes. This is a huge order that God gives him. This is like a huge task that God gives him. But Noah was in the position in his life where he was walking with God, that he had an openness with his relationship with God, that when God were to ask of him something huge, he said, yes. And the result of all of that is that his family is saved, that mankind, you know, eventually is saved, and that all of these animals of every kind are saved because Noah said yes. And it wasn't the yes that really impressed me when I was reading the scripture. It was the position he put himself in before the yes so that he could say the yes. And so I want to challenge you this morning, as I challenged myself this morning. You know, we're in the beginning of this 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I want to use this time to intentionally spend my days walking with God and exploring what that looks like for me. It's not that I'll whip out my Bible and I'll read it and go, great, God is ticked off for the day. Check in with you tomorrow. It's a walking with God. It's a moment by moment. I really challenge myself. Every time something good happens in my day, I just thank God. God, thank you for that. Wow, petrol's cheap today. Thank you for that, God. Just every little moment by moment of walking with God, a heart that says, God, I just want to be in relationship with you. Over these 21 days as we lead into Easter, would you try not to think about Christianity as rules that we're trying to achieve? Because when you try to just achieve all the right rules, at best you'll kind of get it pretty good, but you'll miss out on what Christianity is really about, and that's relationship with God. And Jesus sent his Holy Spirit so that we could have full relationship with God. So over these 21 days, would you focus with me on what's my relationship with God like right now? Regardless of all the times I broke the rules, what's my relationship with him like right now? Let me pray. Well, Father, I thank you, God, that you are always calling us. God, I thank you for our church. God, I thank you for the story of Noah in the Bible and what it teaches us. Lord, I pray that you would help us over this lead up into Easter and beyond to be walking with you. God, would you just unveil what it means for us to be walking with you, what that looks like in our lives? And God, would you keep our hearts soft to you? Let us always be in a position in our lives that when you ask something of us, our answer is always yes. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.